We're holding on Profess Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing about topics about Shomer, who's denying and doing turn tennis Ganev, as we've been discussing the last couple of days in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Heichan Pikdoni, a Mafdid says to a Shomer, where's my Pikadin? Omalei Ovad, and the other one says it was lost, and I'm a Shomer Chinam, and therefore I'm Potter. Or if he was a Shomer Socher, then the Ovad would mean that there was an Onus. The other, well, the first one says, Mashbiachani, I'm making you, I'm beswearing you. The Omer Amen, and the second one answers Amen, which therefore now means that as if he took the Shvor himself. Meanwhile, there are Edom that he himself ate it, so he's the Ganav. Mishalom, Karen, Mishalom, so Mishalom, Karen, then he pays the Kevin. Now, the Choymish V'Oshem would only be if he was murder, and the Kefa would only be if it was Torin Tainus Ganav, and here we don't have that, because instead it was Torin Tainus Ob. So therefore, he's just paying the Kevin. Hoidim Asma, if he admits on his own that he'd sworn falsely, Mishalom Keren V'Choymish V'Oshem, then he pays the Keren and the Choymish and the Oshem, because then that's the usual rule that we've been learning throughout the Perek, where he swore falsely and then admitted to it. What about similarly Heichan Pikdoni, the one the owner says, where's my Pikadin? Omel and Nignav, and the other one says it was stolen. Mashbiachani, I'm beswearing you, Va'omel Amen. And he says Amen, Va'edim Me'edim Oisish Gonvoy, and Edim testified that he actually stole it. Mashalim Tashlome Kefal, then he pays Tashlome Kefal, because that's already Torah in Tainus Ganav, where the Torah says that he pays Kefal. Hodim Atzma, and if he admitted on his own, Mashalim Keren V'Chomish V'Oshem, then he pays the Keren V'Chomish and brings the Korban Oshem, because again, that will apply only when he was Moida. And as we've learned before, as we learned yesterday, you never have a case where he's going to be paying a Kefal and a Chomish, it's always one or the other. Continues the Mishnah. Hagozolos Oviv, if a person stole from his own father. Now, you think about it, eventually he's going to inherit from his father. Isn't that a problem, therefore, that he may end up still owning some or all of what he stole? So he stole from his father, the Nishbaloi, and then he swore falsely to his father that he hadn't stolen. Ummes, and then later on the father died. Now, Rashi says, then the next thing that happened is the son was murdered. So according to Rashi, the following din that we're going to say would only be when he was moida after the father passed away. Marsha and many other mafreshim point out that it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. But Marsha says sorachiyun on Rashi why he says that, and could just as well be. And in fact, Marsha ends up saying maybe it's only a Talmud Torah wrote like that. Maybe it's not from Rashi himself, and that actually really it would apply even if it was moida when the father was alive. Anyway. So now he was moida. So therefore, so the keren v'chomish v'oshem comes in. So harizim b'shalom keren v'chomish v'oshem levonav oyla echad. So now what he does is he gives the keren v'chomish, the word oshem really we take out. He's not giving the oshem to anybody. Obviously, he's bringing it as a korban, but he gives the keren v'chomish to his sons or his brothers. Now whose sons and whose brothers? So Rashi says it means his father's sons or his father's brothers, if the father doesn't have any other sons. The point being, in other words, that even though, so he himself would be the one to yaushin his father, but in this case, he has to do hashava, he has to do vehei shavas hagzela, therefore he can't even keep. Now, we would say, look, you know, I'm the son, let's say, for example, the father had, let's say, three sons, so fine, to keep things simple, let's say none of them are b'chorim, so we're just talking about splitting the estate into three. We're not going to say, in other words, that this ganav should be able to say, well, after all, I'm one-third a yurdish, therefore I should be able to keep one-third of what I stole. No, he has to give all of it away to his sons or his brothers. Tosfos actually says that no, what it means is labana by la'echav means the sons or the brothers of the gazlan. In other words, what we do is that we consider as though this gazlan himself had died, and therefore his sons yarshin their portion together with his brothers, as we'll learn by Hashem Basra later this year, or the beginning of next year. If, let's say, for example, in our example, you have three sons, and one of them died before the father, then what's going to happen? And so suppose, for example, he himself left over two sons. Those two sons, which are grandchildren of the original person, are going to, between the two of them, they're going to get the one third of the property that would have gone to their father, and then the other two brothers get one third each. So in the same vein, Tosfos says over here, what we mean is that the Gazlan has to give the money to his own sons or to his own brothers as if he himself was dead, and they're taking over his portion. So again, the idea being, because he can't have Hana from that, he can't have Hana from that Zela at all. There's furthermore also, the Rambam gives yet another meaning of it, gives yet another explanation of it, that it means he gives it to his brothers, who are the sons of the one of the father that he stole it from, and if he doesn't have any brothers, then he gives it to his sons. So Margos Hagura points out apparently that Rambam had the Girsa, not Levonov or Echav, but rather Echav or Levonov, meaning he gives it to his brothers, and if he doesn't have any brothers, only then he gives it to his sons. Within that also you have a machlokas also. What about does all of this apply only when the gneva itself still exists? What about when he's paying? What about when he's paying back for it in a monetary way? So then Tosfos learns that it wouldn't matter. That Amman learns that if the gzela itself is no longer exists and he's just paying the value of it, then he can deduct the value of that he himself would be a yerush. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. The imenu roitze. Now, what if he doesn't want to give the money to other yoshim? He does want to keep his. He's saying, look, I'm one of the yoshim after all. Why should we take it all away from me, or why should we consider me, as Tosfos says, dead? Osha emoi. Or what if he doesn't have enough money? So then there's a way around it. Loiva. So then what he does is he borrows from other people the amount of the keren v'chomesh, and then he returns the keren v'chomesh to his brothers or his sons or whoever it is. And the Balei Chayv come and collect from the brothers or from the sons. So in other words, we're doing this long way around it. We're this way. The actual, he's accomplished the Heshev Esagzela, and nevertheless, though he's able to, he's able to Yarshin his portion of the Nechosim. So Rashi gives an example. Suppose that there were three brothers. He's one of three brothers. So now what we do is, in other words, so he borrows money, an equivalent amount of the Keren V'Chomesh. Then he returns the Keren V'Chomesh to his brothers, and they split it among themselves. And later on, when the Balei Chovos come, then when it comes to collect the amount that he borrowed, so one third of it they borrow from him, the Balei Chovos come and collect from the brothers the amount that the Gazlan should have gotten, the Keren V'Chomesh, and then the rest of it they collect from him. Tosfos has a whole different explanation, which is that basically what he does is he uses his own karka as collateral to borrow money from other people, and that creates a shibud to the Baal Chayv. Then he gives that karka to his brothers or his sons. Again, Tosfos had learned that it meant his own brothers or his own sons. And then later on, when the Baal Chayv comes to collect, he'll come and take that karka. And then Tosfos discusses that you don't need to necessarily make it an apostiki, you don't necessarily need to say that it's definitely going to be collected from this. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss in detail why that would be so and how this would work. Either way, the point is, in other words, this way the return is being accomplished. He's still accomplishing the Heshev Esagzela, and still he's not necessarily losing his place in the Yerusha. Similarly, the Mishnah mentions there's a similar example of being able to do the long way around like that when a person is not otherwise able to yarshin. We learned about this in Masechta Nedarim. A person says to his son, I'm making a koinam, which is a type of neder, that you're not allowed to have hana from my property. immes. So if the father passes away, yirashenu, then that's not a problem. The son can yarshen the father because he only said mishali, and now once the father dies, it's not mishali anymore. But b'chayev v'moisoi, but if the father said that this neder is going to be in effect when I'm alive and after I die, so then immes lo yirashenu. Now when the father dies, the son cannot yarshen it because he clearly said that it's b'moisoi as well. But he has a way around it. The yachzul abana vayla echav. What he can do is he can give his portion of the yerusha to his sons or his brothers. The imein loy. And again, if he doesn't have enough money to be able to do that, and he actually uses the expression ein loy ma yoichal. He doesn't even have enough. He doesn't even have enough to eat. So earlier we hadn't mentioned that. That example. Before you had Tosfos points out, before the Mishnah had said he may no roitza. Now you could say, in other words, in the Reisha, you could say, of course he wants to, you know, or you could say there's a possibility that he wants to. He wants to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of a heshuvah segzela. Whereas in the sefer we're saying that, whereas in the sefer over here with the neder, he doesn't necessarily want to, because why should he want to? His father is the one who took the neder. He doesn't necessarily want to go through with it. So that's why it doesn't say Meinu Reutzer, and therefore Rashi explains that we're talking about over here where he doesn't have enough to eat. Anyway, so the main loiva that he borrows from other people, the Balechoy, Boimun, Ephraim, and the Balechoy come and collect. So again, according to Rashi, the vote is that he borrows from other people, and then those other people eventually come and collect from the portion of the Yerusha that went to the other brothers or whatever, and then the rest of it, anything above that, anything above the Keren B'chomish, or anything above his, in this case, anything above, it's not Keren B'chomish, in this case, we're talking about the Neder, so anything above his portion of the Yerusha that he borrowed, then they would collect from him, and according to Tosfos, it's that he gives Karka, so he tells them, you take some karka that would have gone to me for the Yerusha, and eventually the Baalei Chayiv will come and collect that karka, and that way they'll pay the debt, and that way though, at least I was able to get a portion of the Yerusha. So we see the same kind of thing, that it's possible to get around that, where he's Mudr Hana, by making this kind of arrangement. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Omer of Yosef, that of Yosef says, what if the Gazlan cannot find somebody who to yarshen his father? So in the normal case, in other words, as we said, he gives it to his other brothers or to his father's brothers. If his father had no other sons, or according to Tosfos, he gives it to his own brothers or sons or whatever. What about if the Gazlan can't find anybody? Now, later on, we're going to talk about we're soon going to talk about Gezel HaGer, where Ger LaHalocha has no Yoshim. Here we're not talking about that the father has no Yoshim, but rather we're just talking about the son can't find any. Afilu La'arniki Shal Tzedakah, then even then he still has to give the money to the purse of Tzedakah, and he can't keep it for himself. Because ultimately he has a mitzvah of a heshuvas agzela, and here, since there's nobody that he knows of to return it to, then therefore he's going to have to give it away to Tzedakah. And Omer Papa, the Sarach Shuyem is Zed Gezel Ovi, and he has to actually say when he's giving it, this is my father's Gezel, otherwise people are going to think that he's Sam giving it as Tzedakah. Actually, the Truer learns that in all cases where a person is paying back a Zela, he has to say that this is my Gezel, or this is the Gezel that I stole from my father, or whatever. So the Gemara asks Amai. Now, why should he have to give it away to the other Yoshim or to give it to Tzedakah? Nimchalei l'nafshei. Why can't we say that after all, he himself, what about, let's say, in a case Rashi explains, suppose that he's the only Yorish. So Rabbi Yosef is saying that he has to give it away to Tzedakah. Now, why should we say that? If he's the only Yorish, it comes out that his claim is against himself. He stole from his father, but he himself is now in line to yarshen his father exclusively, because he's the only son. So therefore, why can't we say that he's moichel for himself, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay back at all? Mi lo tnan, isn't it similar to what we learned earlier in the perek? We said mochal al keren v'le mochal al chomesh, that if the nigzel forgave him for the keren, but not for the chomesh, then we said he doesn't have, if he wasn't moichal him, then he has to follow him even to modai because he had sworn falsely. But then the Mishnah had said that if he was moichal on the keren, then he doesn't have to follow him to modai anymore. because now he doesn't have the mitzvah of a heshev asagzela, alma bar mechilahu. So we see that this kind of thing, it is possible to be moichalit. It means that it's preventing him from doing the mitzvah of a heshev asagzela. Doesn't matter. To be yoitzit agzela, we don't really need, there doesn't have to be an actual heshev that he actually returns the gzela. It's good enough that the Nigzel is not demanding the Zela anymore. Well, in this case, the Nigzel has died. The Nigzel is his own father. So why don't we say that he can now be Moshel himself? Fine, he hasn't actually returned the Zela, but what's the problem? Why is it any different than that? So that's the question. Why is he not able to just be Moshel himself? And then, in fact, Marsha points out, after all, you could say that the question doesn't even have to be where he's the only Yorish. By the same token, you could say that what if he, let's say, like we said before, one of three Yorishim, then he should be able to be Meichel on one third of the Zela. Why can't we say it? I'm like Kasha, Horab Yisagimi, Horab Akiva. The answer is, says Rabbi Yechanan, there are actually two different Tanoim over here. Rabbi Yosef Aguli and Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa in connection with Gezel Hager, which we're going to talk about in more detail further on. The Pasuk says, so now the concept of that you have to return the Gzela and that if he swore falsely, he has to pay the Chomesh for Oshem and so forth, is mentioned in two places in the Torah. It mentions in Parshas Vayikra towards the end, and then it also mentions it again in Parshas Nosai. In Parshas Nosai, it adds a couple of details over there. One of them being the concept of Gezel HaGer. The Pasuk says, being Ein Lo Ish Goyel LaHoshiv HaOshem Eilav, if the person who he stole from does not have a Goyel, does not have a close relative to return the guilty property to him, to return the stolen property to him. So then the Pasuk says that you give it to the Kohenim, as we're going to discuss on Omid Beis, we're going to start discussing that in more detail. So now, the Braisa says, how could there be a Jew who has no goyalim, no matter what? Even he doesn't have any sons, and he go to his father or his brothers. If he doesn't have any, if his father and his dad and his brothers, and he doesn't have any brothers, so first of all, in Bava Basra, it talks about, first of all, you go among his descendants, you see if he has any daughters, does he have any sons, children, does he have any daughters, children, etc. If not, then you go back to his father, then you go to his brothers, and then his brother's children, and if there's none of those, then you go to his grandfather and his grandfather's sons and then his grandfather's daughters and so forth. And you keep on going up the tree until you reach, if necessary, all the way to the top of the progenitor of the Shevet, to Reuven or Shimon or whatever, and then you go down from there. So every Yid has a Goyel. So what do you mean, Ein Lo Ish Goyel? Ela B'Gezel HaGer HaKasim Medaber. So the Pasuk is talking about Gezel HaGer, the Pasuk is talking about that he stole from a Ger. Now, a Ger, once he becomes a ger, he's not related to, he's not considered the halacha related to his goyish, to his original goyish family anymore. If he has children, then he has children, and then they're related to him la halacha, but otherwise he does not. So there you have a person who could have no goyel. So Haresha Gozal Ger Vinishvaloi. So suppose a person stole from a Ger and swore falsely to him, the Shoma Shamesa Ger, and now he hears that the Ger had died, Voyamala Kaspe Vashomeli Yoshalayim. So he was now bringing the money and the Oshem to Yerushalayim, because now, as we're going to talk about later on, he has to give the Keren B'Chomesh to the Kohenim, and the Oshem, of course, he's going to have to bring in the Bes Mikdash. So now he's on his way to Yerushalayim, let's say, thinking that the Ger has died, and then Opoga Ba'osa Ger, and then he meets up with that very Ger. So it turns out that Ger is not dead after all. And now the Ger says, okay, well, I have to return you your Gezel. And the Ger says, you know what? Don't return it to me right now. Zokfei Olav Milva. The Ger says, you know what? Consider it for right now alone. And then the Ger dies before he has a chance to pay back this Zela now turned into a loan. Zocha Haloba Mashab Yadi, Divir Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that now he's Zoicha in what's in his hands. Now at this point, it turned from Zela into a regular loan. And so just like in a regular case, if a person had lent a Ger money and then the Ger died without any Yoshim, the Yid would be able to keep the money. In fact, as we've learned in Kiddushin and earlier in Ar Masechta, you have when a Ger dies, all of his property is free for the taking for all Jews. So in this case, then if it's a regular milva, then he's able to keep that milva and he doesn't have to return it. So the same way, Rabbi Yisrael Glili over here says, even though it's sorted out of the gezel, because the ger instead turned it into a milva, therefore the yid is potter. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says the only way out of it, since after all he did swear falsely, he's going to have to take the money out of his hands, and it's going to have to go to the kohen. So we see therefore says Rabbi Yochanan that you have two different tannaim who argue about whether it's possible to be moichel such a thing. In this case, the ger turned it into a loan. Now can the yid be moichel the loan to himself effectively when the ger dies? Appointed Rabbi Yisrael Glili, yes. Appointed Rabbi Yochanan, no. The same way, appointed Rabbi Yisrael Glili, yes. Appointed Rabbi Akiva, no. The same way says Rabbi Yochanan when our Mishnah says that he stole from his father, and no matter what, he has to give the money away, whether to his brothers or his sons or whatever, or whether to the tzedakah purse. That's talking about a point to Rabbi Akiva. Whereas the earlier Mishnah that said that the gazel, that the nigzal can be moichel on the money, and then the ganav is not required to pay it anymore, would be talking about a point to Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So Rabbi Yochanan continues. So it comes out according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, whether for himself or to others, he's able to be moichel. So in this case, in other words, the gazlan has the money in his possession. So therefore, over here the ger gave it to him as a loan instead, and now he's able to be moichel himself. By the same token, if he stole from his father, the same thing. Or it doesn't matter to be moichel for somebody else, namely earlier in the perek when we learned about mochel loyal akeren. So that would be specifically appointed Rabbi Yosef Agri. And Rashi points out, according to this answer of the Gemara at this point, we're assuming that it doesn't davka have to be in the case of the ger that zok from all of the milva. It would be just as good if the ger had said, "I'm moichel you the money." At this point, that's what we're assuming. The Chiddush, by the way, the Rosh points out, would be that even though he met up with the Ger, and even though he's all ready to give the money, nevertheless, once Zok for the Milva, or even we're saying it doesn't even necessarily need to be Zok for the Milva, we still consider that it's in his possession. Anyway, so that's a point to Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Although Rabbi Akiva loishna l'achirim, loishna l'nafshe loy matzi mochel, whereas Rabbi Akiva is going to hold it's never possible to be mochel, you always have to have the hesher v'sagzela. So therefore, so when our Mishnah says that he has to pay the keren v'chomish to others, or to the kupah shol, or to the amdiki shol tzedakah, that would be a point to Rabbi Akiva. And similarly, earlier in the perek, when we learned about that he's moichel to him, and then he's potter from the Heshev HaSagzela, then Rabbi Akiva would disagree with that Mishnah, and say that no, he can't be moichel, and we would say that the Gazlan is still going to have to pay regardless, at least if he swore. So the Gemara at which the earlier Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel was also talking about when he swore. So the Gemara says, like Gemara asks, Ola Rabbi Yosi, so then according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who are dinda, filo loy zok for the milva, shouldn't the same thing be even if the ger had not made it into a milva? So what's the difference? According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, why does the brice have to be mentioned in the case of zok for all of the milva? The ger could just be moichel to him straight out, as in our Mishnah, where there's no zok for the milva, the father never turned it into a milva, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the son can be moichel his portion for himself. And the answer is, the hide katani zok for all of a milva, the reason why the Mishnah mentioned, or it's not a question, it's a statement, but Rabbi Yosef, who adinda filo lo zok for the milva, in fact, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the same thing would apply whether Zok for Olav Milva or not. Either way, he would be potter from paying because the ger was moichel to him, or in the case of our Mishnah, he's moichel to himself after he yashins it from his father. Mahai de Katani, Zok for Olav Milva, the reason why the Braisa gives the case of Zok for Olav Milva, Loidiach Koicha de Rabbi Akiva, because it wants to tell you how far Rabbi Akiva goes, Dafilu Zok for Olav Milva, even he turned it into a Milva. So it's not even a Gezel, it's not even a Gneva anymore. It turned from a Gneva into a Milva. Nevertheless, he has to take it out of his hands, otherwise he's not Yotzer, pointed Rabbi Akiva. So in short, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that our Mishnah versus the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel are going according to two different Tanoim. Our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Akiva, and the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Gimel that said that if the Nigzo was Moichel him, then he doesn't have to return anymore, would be according to Rabbi Yosef. Well, Maskef for Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, though, I have a contradiction to that, or a question to that. In that case, then why does Rabbi Yisrael really have to say they have to mention the case involving the ger? Let him just say by himself that he's able to be moichel it for himself in a case like our Mishnah where he yaushins the money, and all the more so that it can be moichel for others, and that would be effective, and the other doesn't have to pay back the money anymore. Meaning that why in that case, if the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Gimel is a point of Rabbi Yisrael, why does Bechalal have to say that din? Let him say in the Braisa that it's enough that the ger can be moichel him the money, and we understand that he also disagrees in on Mishnah and says that the Yodesh, the son, can be moichel the money for himself because he yaushens it from his father. And we would understand all the more so when we're talking about that that he was supposed to give the money back to himself. And instead he says, I'm moichel you, and now you don't have to pay it back anymore. That sort of thing should be effective. So why doesn't Rabbi Yosef really mention that? Why is he Bechlal telling us the din in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel where there's less of a chiddush in that? And another question, Rav Akiva, and on the contrary, says Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Akiva, and according to Rav Akiva, he should be telling us the case on Daf Kuf Gimel, where he can't be moichel to others, where, in other words, you have, what we mean by others over there is, you have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben had stolen from Shimon. Shimon says, I'm moichel you, and now Reuben and now Reuben is keeping the money, as opposed to in the cases that we're talking about over here, where Reuben is moichel for himself, where Reuben stole from Shimon his father, and then Shimon died, and Reuben is yaushening him, and he's moichel to himself, which is a greater chiddush that he's able to do that. There's less of a chiddush that the nigzel is able to be moichel him. It's a greater chiddush that when he himself, in effect, comes in place of the nigzel, that he should be able to be moichel himself. Nevertheless, that's what the point of Rabbi Yochanan. That's what Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah and Daf Gimel goes according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and similarly in the case of the ger. So then, in fact, character Rabbi Akiva should tell us in that case that he disagrees and says you can't be moichel even where it's somebody else. V'koshken l'nafshe, and how much more so for himself to lematzi moichel, that he can't be moichel when he himself is the gazlan and is taking over the place of the nigzal. So the question is, if you're going to tell us that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and the Mishnah, or the Mishnah Uli on Daf Kuf Gimel is appointed Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and the Mishnah here is appointed Rabbi Akiva, then both of them are saying the lesser chiddush. So they should be saying they shouldn't. They should be saying the greater chiddush. Rabbi Yosef Aglili should be saying that even when it comes to be Moichel himself, he can do that, like in our Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva should be saying that even where it's being Moichel to somebody else, like in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel, that he can't do it. So that doesn't work. Ella Omer Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, ha v'ha Rav Yosef Aglili. We're going to say that both Mishnayos are according to Rav Yosef Aglili. Ki ka Omer Rav Yosef Aglili, d'motzi mochil, you know when? All this time we're assuming that there's no difference between being moichel for himself and moichel for somebody else. So we're assuming that the case of the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel is exactly the same as the cases over here. We're just like over there. The Nigzal is saying, I'm moichel you. You don't have to pay me. We're assuming it means the same thing over here, where he's saying, I'm moichel myself because I'm yaushening the money anyway. We can say that. No, says Rav Sheshes, there's a distinction between them. There's a you know when we say that he can be moichel is only when it's somebody else. When Shimon, the Nigzal, was telling Reuven, the Gazlan, I'm moichel you, then that's good enough. That's the case on Daf Kuf Gimel, and that would be the case, therefore, where he's potter from paying anymore. And therefore, he doesn't have to bring it to Modai or do any of that. But on the other hand, but Rabbi Yosef Aglili would be saying to himself, he can't be moichel, and therefore our Mishnah would follow Rabbi Yosef Aglili as well. And that's why he can't keep it for himself. That's why he has to give it to his brothers or his sons or give it to the tzedakah purse or whatever. And now you're going to ask, Ela amai zocha lob mashab yadar. So in the case of the ger, why is he zocha and what's in his hands? If we're saying that mechila for himself doesn't help, the reason is mishum de zok from olav milva, specifically because zok from olav milva, and therefore he turned it from a gezel into a loan, and therefore Rabbi Yosef Aglili would say that's the kind of case where he could be moichel for himself. So in other words, before we thought that. We mentioned Zuck from Oliver Milver just as an example. And the same thing would be if the Gazlan tells him, I don't want it, I'm moichel you. Now we're saying no. Rabbi Yosef Lila would say, if the Gazlan tells him, no, I'm moichel you, that doesn't help anything. Because it would. If the Gazlan tells him, if the Gazlan tells him, I'm moichel you, that would also work. If the Gazlan in fact is dead, though, then Rabbi Yosef Lila would say, he can't in fact be moichel it to himself, he would still have to bring it and give it to the Kohen. But if the Gazlan was Zok and Oliver Milver, then Rabbi Yosef Aglili would say that because he made it into a Milver, then that's like any other Nigzol who can be Moichel to somebody else. So we can reconcile the two Mishnayos, and we could say that both of them in fact are according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So he has to at least remove it from the category of Zela, in other words, Rashi says. So if Zok for Oliver Milva, then that does it. That undoes the concept of it being Zela and makes it instead into a loan, and then it's possible to be Moichelet. But if you never had that, if it was never removed from the category of Zela, then you can't do that. Tosfos discusses actually so why don't we say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and that Rabbi Akiva would say that you can be moichel to somebody else, but you can't be moichel to himself and Zokfer, and then he only argues by Zokfer and Oliver Milva, because that would be different than a regular mechila. And he says, and Tosfos says, Rav Sheshes evidently would hold that to be moichel to somebody else, if being moichel to somebody else helps, like Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, then Zokfer Oliver Milva would also help, and since Rav Akiva says it doesn't, then therefore he must hold that mechilas hachedim doesn't work either. So our Mishnah cannot be made, or the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel cannot be made to work according to Rav Akiva, and therefore Rav Sheshes is saying that both of them are like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Okay. Rav Amar. Rav gives a different answer. Now that answer of Rav Sheshes is very glatt, so it's fine. It's very glatt, it's very smooth, and it explains everything. The only thing with it is, generally we want to say that a Stam Mishnah goes like Rav Akiva. So now Rav is going to give us an answer, which is going to allow us to say that both Mishnayos are appointed Rav Akiva. Rav Amar Hava Har Rav Akiva. Both Mishnayos are appointed Rav Akiva. Ki Amar Rav Akiva, Dolei Motzi Mochel L'Nafshei, Fakert. He would say the opposite of Rav Sheshes. Rabbi Akiva would say that he can't be moichel for himself, but he's able to be moichel to somebody else. So the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Gimel can work according to Rabbi Akiva, because they are Shimon the Nigzel is saying to Reuven, I'm moichel you, and you can keep the money. That's la'achelim. So because the mechila is coming from somebody else, it's coming from Shimon, and that could be according to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva would say he can't be moichel for himself, but he can be moichel for somebody else. Our Mishnah would also go according to Rabbi Akiva, because in the case of our Mishnah, if he was going to be moichel, it would be if there was going to be mechila, it would be himself being moichel, it would be he himself being moichel himself as the Yodish, and Rabbi Akiva is saying you can't do that. So the reason in the Braisa, the reason why Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says he can't be moichel is because the ger was not moichel at mechila gemura. He made it into a zok for elav milva. He said, fine, we'll consider it like a loan, but he wasn't moichel completely, and therefore it still retains to a certain extent the status of a zela. But if he actually told him, I'm moichel you, then in fact we would say it would work, and now the Yid, the Gazlan, would be potter from paying, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the exact opposite of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes had understood that both Braises are according to, that both Mishnayos are according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and Rabbi Yosef Aglili would say you can be moichel to others but not to himself. Now Robert is saying exactly the other way around. Both Mishnayos are according to Rabbi Akiva. He can't be moichel to himself, but he could be moichel. But he could be moichel to others. So the opposite, the oppositeness is that what Rabbi Sheshes was saying, Rabbi Yosef Aglili would hold, is what Rav is saying, Rabbi Akiva would hold. Okay. So the Gemara says, Miklal, does that imply from what Rav is saying that Rabbi Yosef Aglili sover afilo nafshe nami moti mochel? So does that come out then that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he can actually be moichel to himself, even without zokfer olav milva? In that case, well, then what's the scenario where you can have Gezel Agir going to Kohen? Because even if not Zokfel of Milva, as soon as the Ger dies, he's going to be Moichel himself, and he himself is going to keep the money, and that's that. So where would there ever be a case where we're saying after the Ger dies that he would be required to go and return that and give that money to the Kohenim? Why wouldn't it just be Moichel himself, and that's that? And the answer is Omar Rava, Hocha, Maya Skinen, because the scenario that Rabbi Yosef, in fact, Tosfa says, for that matter, the Gemara could have asked right at the beginning of the Sugya when we first started presenting Rabbi Yosef Aglivi's opinion, and it sounded like he said you could be Moichel, we could have asked right then, why can't he just be Moichel himself? But the Gemara had different other points to bring up, and therefore the Gemara waited until this point to bring up this point of how Rabbi Yosef Aglivi would understand the whole concept of Gezel Agir in the first place. Anyway, so Omar Rava, Hocha, Mayaskinen, Kisha Gozal as a Ger Vinishvalai, we're talking about he stole from the Ger, he swore falsely to the Ger that he hadn't stolen, or Mesa Ger, then the Ger died, Vahodal Achamisa, and he admitted that he had sworn falsely only after the Ger died, to be Idna, to Oidi. So now, when he's Moida, which is now when he has the Chiyuv, Kno Yashem, Venosna Lakoinim, then Hashem acquires that money, because now the Ger has no Yoshim to take it, and then Hashem gives it as a present to the Koinim. But in fact, if he had been Moida while the Ger was alive, then in effect it would become a Milva, and then he could be Moichel for himself. So we still have a way, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglivi, that the money could be considered, that he can't be Moichel it, namely that while the Ger was alive, he never admitted that he had sworn falsely. So the David learns a little bit differently. If he's Moida while the Ger is alive, then the Ger himself is Zoicha in it, and then when he dies, then the Gazlan can be Zoicha in it, just like any other Yid can be Zoicha in the Ger's property. But here, where he's Moida after the Ger died, then to begin with, it belongs to Hashem. The fact, by the way, the interesting point that was saying that Hashem gets this money from the Ger, in this case, this money that was stolen from the Ger, and now the Ger has no Yoshim, and therefore it goes to Hashem, who in turn gives it to the Koyanim. Meforshim on the Pesukim discuss a couple of interesting possibilities in that, including, I think, that Ramban talks about that since, after all, any Gezel you have, there's a Bein Adam L'Chaveri component, and there's a Bein Adam L'Mokum component, in this case, especially over here, where he swore falsely, there's a Bein Adam L'Mokum component. So now, normally he has to give back the Gzela, the Heshev Zagela. And with that, he's undoing the what he did, Ben Adam L'Chaveri, and then where there's an Oshram that he's also accomplishing, where he's paying Chomesh as a Kapara, plus the Oshram, then that also takes care of the Ben Adam L'Mokim component. Here, by a Ger, there is no Ben Adam L'Chaveri component anymore, because the Ger is dead and has no Yoshim, therefore we just have Therefore, the Mammon also goes to Hashem. All of it, the Keren and the Chomesh, all goes to Hashem, who in turn says it's given to the Kohenim. The Chizkuni on the Pasuk makes another very interesting point. He says that Hashem is the father of Gerim. So if the Ger dies without any descent, without any heirs, then Hashem is his heir, so to speak. And therefore, that's why Hashem gets that money, and therefore, that's why it goes to the Kohenim. Anyway, it comes out from this, therefore, that it is, to a certain extent, possible for a person to be Moichel, something that he owes himself, where again we're saying we have here the case of the Ganev, where and the Ger, where he's able to be Moichel himself. There are other Gemaras and other places in Shas that also talk about cases involving a person being able to be Moichel for himself. So you have an example from a Gemara in Ksubas where Reuven owed money to his brother Shimon, and then Shimon passed away, and now Reuven has to do Yibum with his wife. So the Yavam is Yarshining whatever he gets from the brother who passed away, but here he can't say that since I owe him the money, I get to keep the money anyway, and he can't say I'm Moichel for himself. Instead, we have to Yolokachem Kalka, Ruoichel Peiris, have to buy Kalka with it, and Reuven will get to eat Peiris of it, but the wife will own the wife will own the Kalka. So there you see that he can't be Moichel himself. So you have a good deal of discussion among the poskim about how exactly that works. What we're saying over here, that maybe, that is he ever able to be Moichel for himself, or is he not? and why wouldn't it apply over there? So you have some discussion about when we say when we say that a person can be moichel something for himself. And then in Shulchan Aruch it brings a different example. Gives an example. Let's say that Reuven lent his son money with a shtar. Then he sold the shtar to Shimon, and now Reuven dies. So Levi, the son Levi, the loiva can't say, look, since I'm the loiva anyhow, then I'm gonna be moichel to myself, and therefore I'm gonna make Shimon lose out, because now he can't collect it. He won't be able to do that. So again, you have cases where we say that he can't be moichel it for himself, and then Shulchan Aruch brings yesh omim that he could. Ultimately, it's machlokas rishonim, and ultimately, it's how we reconcile these various gemaras, and also whether we consider the shach points out over there that there is a matter of garmi, that he's causing a direct hezek to the other guy. So you have a lot of factors involved in that as far as when a person can and can't be moichel a debt that he owes himself. Or a gezel in this case that he owes himself. Okay, so now let's talk more about these dinim of gezel agar. Boyravina, gozel agiyodas. What about if a person stole from a giyodas? Mahu, what would be the din? Do you have the same idea? Instead of a male, instead of a man, a ger, it was a woman, and we have the same kind of thing that he stole from her, swore falsely to her. Later on, she died. Now, the same dinim applies. The kohen v'chomish goes to the kohenim, and he brings the korban asham. Do we say ish omrachmana? On the one hand, the pasuk says ish, which maybe implies below isha, so maybe it's meant as a miut that it applies only to a man, not to a woman. Or maybe it's just a normal style of the pasuk to say the word ish. And the expression is kol haTorah kol haBalashim Zachor Nemra. The Torah usually is written in masculine form, even when a din applies to women as well. And here, after all, the Rosh points out, it is true, of course, many times we do say there's a miut from ish, that it means not an isha. On the other hand, the Gemara is thinking over here, the fact is, there's no logical svara to distinguish between one and the other. So do we, in fact, make that distinction or not? Omelet of Aaron Leravina, said of Aaron, this is a rare amoda of that name. I don't know if we have another of Aaron anywhere in Shas. It's said famously from the Rogachover that every Masechta has at least one amoda in it who doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas. This Rav Aaron over here might be the one. I don't know. Anyway. Sort of Aaron says to Ravina, Toshma the Tanya Bebraisa, let's prove it says in a Braisa, The Braisa says, when the Pasuk says ish, aimly ela ish, you would think that that applies only to a man. Isha minayin, how do we know it applies equally well if the nigzel was a woman, a giyotis? Shu oima, a mushav. Since the Pasuk says that you have to return that he has to return the stolen money, and it says hamushav, which is return, hare kan shnayim, then that means, this is ha'oshim hamushav, it says, if he doesn't have anybody, la'oshiv ha'oshim elav, to return the oshim for him, then ha'oshim hamushav, the money that's returned, so we have twice that it says la'oshiv, so therefore it means, hare kan shnayim, so it means two, both men and women. Or Rashi brings another explanation, and Lishna Achrina is because it says twice ha'osham. La'osham ha'osham, then it says ha'osham ha'mushav. So either way, we learn that it means both men and women. Imkei matam adlema ish. In that case, then why does it say ish in the first place? If anyway, we're saying it includes an isha as well. The reason is ish atatzarach lachzer achrav yesh legoyim in lav, because when it comes to a man or a woman for that matter, in other words, we're not being mamayit a woman, as we're going to go on to say, we're being mamayit a katan. When it comes to a man, you have to go check whether im yesh legoyim, whether he has a yerush im lav, and if not, because yes, he's a ger, he doesn't have a birth family anymore, lahalacha, but he may well be married and have children, or even not married anymore, he may be divorced or widowed, and have children from before, so you're going to have to check. So in other words, when the Pasuk is saying, im ein lo ish goyo, means, the Gemara elsewhere explains that ein lo means ayin olav. You're going to have to check into it, you're going to have to investigate whether this guy has any living descendants. And if he does, then the money's going to go to them and not the kohenim. As opposed to cotton, you have to sort of lachs or achrav. When it comes to a cotton, you don't need to go check after him. Be a Jewish, ain't no goyalim. Obviously, he has no goyalim because a child is not able to father children. So therefore, so the pasuk when it says ish is not coming to be mamayit to an isha, it's coming to be mamayit to cotton, not to say that you don't have to return it to a cotton, but to say that if the cotton, if a ger who's a cotton dies, then there's no, you don't have to do any aim, you don't have to do any ayin olam, any checking in. Does he have any yoshim? It's obvious that he has no yoshim, and therefore go right away and give the money to the koyanim and bring the korban asham. Tosfos actually deals with the question here and in Sanhedrin as well. This Gemara is also brought in Sanhedrin. How does a cotton have nechosim in the first place that should be possible to do gezel from him? So Tosfos over here just briefly says that he can't be kona metziah because there's no das acheres. There's nobody to be makne to him. But when you could have a god or could be makne to him, and then he's kona daraisa. So we're talking about over here. Let's say he was misgayer together with his father. Whether actually Tosfos points out if he's without his father, then you have machlokas and ksubas. Whether you can be megayer a ger cotton, the halacha is you can. So the halacha doesn't really matter whether he has a father or not. But Tosfos points out that here you could be talking about he was misgayer together with his father. Whatever the case, the point is the halacha they're not considered related. But nevertheless, his father, his biological father, where now they're both gave him, is able to give him something, and the cotton is able to be coined. And Sanhedrin Tosfos goes into a much greater arichus and discusses all the ins and outs of when a cotton is and isn't coined. Another interesting point, though, that they bring up is that the Gemara there in Sanhedrin says that in Dodas of Ishonim, in the earlier generations, then people were able to have children at younger ages. It gives examples over there how with Salal's ancestors going back to Kolev, actually each of them had a son at 9 years old. You have the example of Bathsheba, whether you have the example of Bathsheba and Shlomo, you have several examples over there where they fathered children at younger ages. So how can we say over here is a blanket statement that a cotton has no yoshin? So they bring two answers on that, basically. One is that, in fact, when we say over here a cotton and a gadol, we mean whatever is considered a cotton or a gadol at a certain stage in history. Nowadays, the definition is that a boy is not, it's Tosfos over there in Sanhedrin explains that all it means is, in other words, the definition of a gadol is always going to be when he's old enough to father children. In the Doros that we've shown him, it was 8 or 9 years old. In later times, it's 13 years old, but still, in other words, Tosfos says that here, and we'd be saying, when the pasuk is saying, ish versus a cotton, it just means, in other words, whether it's dodas or rishonim, and the boy is over 8 or 9 years old, or whether it's dodas achronim, when we're talking he's 13 or over. On the other hand, the Ran explains that no, the Torah alagoyes to daber. You have exceptional cases that it mentions in the Gemara over there that people fathered children at young ages. It wasn't a regular thing among all Jewish people. The Torah alagoyes to daber, and therefore the Torah is saying the word ish, even though there might be exceptional cases where they have children below that. Okay. Talking more about these dinim of gezel ager, tonen rabbanon, lashem lakoyin, when the pasuk says it's for Hashem for the koyin, that means knoy Hashem menosan lakoyin shem osim mishma. Means Hashem acquires that money, the gezel ager, and Hashem grants it to the koyinim of that mishmar. So whatever, we have 24 mishmaras of koyinim, each one serves for a different week in the mismikdash. So whenever the guy comes with the money for his kapara, then that the koyinim of that week's mishmar get the money. The Tosfos Rid points out, usually we have the mishmaras are also divided into bate of, but here we don't say give it to that day's base of, because after all, this is a regular things. This is korbanos, which are brought on a regular basis, then those, whether ones that are brought on a regular basis, or even one-time korbanos, but they're brought, after all, the concept of korbanos happens all the time, then it goes to that day's base of. But here we're talking about a rare event like this, and therefore he says it doesn't specifically go to the base of. The Chazon Ish gives a different reason, and suggests that gezel ager is not really an avoida. Good. The avoida belongs to that day's base of, but here we're not talking about avoida, therefore it goes to the mishmar in general. Tosfos points out, we don't go according to when he was moida, we go according to when he actually brings the keren v'chomesh and the osham, that then it's whichever mishmar is on duty that week. So after Omer l'koyin shem osim mishmar, oyenel l'chol koyin sheyutze. How do you know? Continues the Braisa, that it means davka to the koyin of that week's mishmar. Maybe it means he can give it to whatever koyin he wants. Same way as we have, for example, with truma and other things that you can give to any koyin you want. No, Since the pasuk continues that he has to bring the karen b'chomish besides for the ram to atone to become to be mechaper for himself, with which he will be mechaper. So therefore, so now we're talking about a korban, and then and who brings the korban? This is the korban, is the korinim of that week's mishmar. So therefore, implying, in other words, that whoever the money goes to is who the korban goes to, as we'll learn about more in detail tomorrow, Best Hashem. So therefore, how did the koyin shabbos is the mishmar? Because the dabber necessarily, therefore, we're talking about the koyin of that, the koyinim of that week's mishmar, because that's how it works. You have the korbanos of Yom Tovim are shared among all the mishmaris, but other than that, each mishmar has their turn and their korbanos. And in this case, the pasuk is saying that the korban and the money have the same rules. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tanan Rabbanan, Harei Shehoya Goizo Koyin. What if the thief was himself a Koyin? Minayin Shelo Yoma Hoyo V'Yotzel a Koyin V'Arei V'Tachas Yodi. How do we know that he can't say that? Look, since anyway I'm a Koyin, and it's anyway going to be given to the Koyin V'Arei V'Tachas Yodi, and the money is in my possession. Yehei Shali, that I should get to keep it without giving it to the other Koyinim. And after all, we could say V'Dinhu. And he should be able to say that based on a kavuchomer. If he's able to be zoicha in the gezel of other people, if when he's on duty, the week that his mishmer is on duty, if somebody else brings gezel ager, he would be able to keep it. So how much more so then that he should be able to keep it himself? So loy kol shekin, how much more so? So why taka don't we say that? Rav Nosson says b'loshen acher. Rav Nosson phrases it differently. Uma davar she'ein lo chelik v'yatchi yikonis v'rushosay. Ma dach something, namely the korbanos, where the koyin has no portion of it until it comes into his rushos. Now a koyin himself, as we're going to talk about at the bottom of the Amud, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that a koyin can come bring his korbanos, his own korbanos, whenever he wants. Even when it's not his mishmer's turn, if he himself has a korban to bring, he can bring it anytime he wants, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So now we're saying that he has no portion in it until it comes into his rishus, and once it comes into his rishus, another koyin cannot take it away from him. He can't say, well, if not your mishmo's weak, come back another time, or meanwhile give it to the koyinim of this mishmo, and we'll bring it for you, and we'll eat the meat, and so forth. So Rav Nosson continues, Dover Shigesh Lechelet by actually Konos Rishusay. Well, then the Gezel Ager, where the koyin does have a chelik of it before it comes into his rishus, because a Yisrael brings it, and the fact is it doesn't go to the individual koyin who the yid offers it to, it goes to all the members of the mishmar. So now when it's in this individual koyin's rishus, how much more so somebody should that nobody else should be able to take it away from him? Why don't we say that? So the Tanakhama had one way of phrasing the Kavachomer. Rav Nosson had a different way of phrasing it. And why Taka don't we say that? Rashi brings another lashon that we could say. We're not talking about the Dovash Lenichnas Birushosay. We'd be Truma Samaisris. When a Yid gives Truma to a Koyin, another Koyin can't say, yeah, but it belongs to all the Koyinim, so I demand my portion. We don't. Whichever Koyin you gave it to is the one who keeps it. So why shouldn't we say over here that the Koyin can keep the Gezel Ager himself? And Tosfos points out, not just Truma. Vala Rishas Ages, the Koyin, the owner, can decide whatever coin he wants to give it to. And once the coin gets it, then another coin cannot say that no, it's given out all to the mishmar. Only certain things are given out to the mishmar, and these are not one of them. So how do we know that Gezel Ager is one of them? And the answer is loy, no, because the kavachomers that the Tanakama and Rav Nosson are bringing are not a valid kavachomer. You know what you're talking about, things that he has no chelik in beforehand, and once it comes into his rishus, he keeps it for himself. For example, like we said, the koyin's own korban, or like truma and reishes and gaze, and so on and so forth. The difference is shekshem she'ein loy chelik boy, kach ein la'achirim chelik boy. It's true he has no chelik in it yet, but neither does anybody else. Toima Gezel, as opposed to Gezel Ager, Shakashem Shiyesh Le Chelik Boy, he already has a Chelik in it before it comes to his hand, because it belongs to the whole Mishmer, Kach Yesh Le Achedim Chelik Boy, the same way the other Koinim of that Mishmer have a Chelik in it, And therefore, so now it has to be given out to the whole Mishnah. Ella, so therefore, the result is Gzela Yotz Matachas Yadei, therefore the Gzela has to be taken away from that individual Kohen, or Meschalik L'Chalachal Kohenim, and given out to all his fellow Kohenim, even though he himself is the Gazlan, and he himself should be able to say, I get to keep it. But we're saying it's not like that, it's more like other Korbanos, which go to the whole Mishmar. And therefore, because after all, to begin with, the whole Mishmar is in line to get it, unlike his own korban, which is not meant for the whole Mishmar, it's meant for him himself to bring and to decide who gets to eat the meat, and unlike Trumas and Maestris, again, where he gets to keep it himself. Tosfos actually points out that the Gemara didn't even need that. According to the first Lashon, according to the Tanakhama's Kavachomer of B'Shalach Chedim versus B'Shalach Atzmai, the Gemara could equally well have asked, the Brais could equally well have asked, why don't we say Daya? Dayah Levomen Adin, Lius Kenodin, that he can only be Zoycha in his own, only as much as he would be Zoycha B'Shalach Chedim. And so Tosfos says that, so in fact, the Gemara could have mentioned that point as well of Daya. But nevertheless, it gave a different way of pointing it out. But anyway, you don't even need Daya over here. You say that just the fact that it goes to the Mishmar as a whole, the whole Mishmar has a claim on it in the first place. Okay. The Gemara says, but what do you mean that the Kohen who stole from the Ger should have to give it out to all the Kohenim? What are we saying? Because the Korban goes to the whole Mishmar, therefore the money has to go to the whole Mishmar as well. But the fact is, the Pasuk says, every person, a few psukim after the dinim of Gezel Ager, it says, V'ishas Kadosh of Lo Yiyu, every person's Kodshim are his own, meaning that a Kohen is able to bring his Korban bonus whenever his own carbonus whenever he wants, even if it's not his Mishmar's turn. So why taka don't we say that the same way as he can bring a carbon anytime he wants, and he gets to keep the meat, and he gets to keep the skin. So the same way, look, you're saying that the money has to be similar to the carbon, but the carbon himself he can keep. The carbon himself he can be Zochin. So why shouldn't he be able to keep the gezel as well? And the answer is Hoch Maiskin Bakoin Tommy. The answer is we're talking about over here where the coin is Tommy and he can't bring the Osham. Therefore, he doesn't get to keep the money either, and it goes to the whole Mishmar. Like Moses, Eva, Kohen, Tomei, Dovash, Yesh, Lechelech, boy. If you're talking about Kohen who's Tomei, then how is Reb Nosson saying a thing in which he has a portion? Me, Islay, he doesn't have a portion in it. A Kohen Tomei doesn't get any portion of the Korban. He doesn't even get the skin. The skins of the Korbanus that are given to the Kohenim don't go to him if he was Tomei at the time when the Korban was being brought. So the same way the Gezel Ager is not going to be going to him either. So then what's Reb Nosson's argument? Ella Asya Lakoyin Lakoyin Mesveachosa. Rather, the answer is, the reason what we are talking about, the Kohen was Tavar, after all. The reason he doesn't keep it for himself is to be learned Zera Shava on the word Lakoyen from a Sdei Achoza. You have a Sdei Achoza as a field that a person inherited from his ancestors in Eretz Yisrael, where you have the din, the Torah says in Parashas B'chukosai, that if he's Makdish that field, if he doesn't buy it back from Hektish before Yovel, then it gets given out to the Kohenim of that Mishmar, the Mishmar that are on duty the week when Yom Kippur of Yovel comes out, and you have a similar kind of thing. D'tanya, Akuzosei Matamabimer. The Pasuk says that the land becomes the property of the Kohenim. Why does it have to say Akuzosei? It just says Lakoyen Tiyah, that's enough. It means Minayin L'Soda Hayotza Lakoyen B'Yovel. How do we know that if a field is going out from Hektish and being given to Kohenim on Yovel? Before Yovel, one of the Kohenim had bought it from the Gizbar, from the treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash. Minayin Shalayomer. How do we know the Kohen can't say Hoyovel Yotza Lakoyen B'Yovel? Look, since anyway it's going to the Kohenim and Yovel, Vare Tachas Yodi, and it's already in my possession, to Hei Shali, then I should be able to keep it. The dinhu, and in fact, there would be a valid kavachoyma. You would think, if v'shalachedem ani zoicha b'sada b'sirul atzmi lekoshken. If I'm able to be zoicha in somebody else's field, so I have a yisrael was makdish this field, and the yisrael himself didn't buy it back. Hektish themselves kept it until Yovel, or they sold it to somebody else. Then we say that Yovel, it goes to Hektish, and then it goes to the Kohenim. So we should say, I'm able to be Zoicha from a Yisrael, how much more so where it's my own, where I myself bought it from Hektish. Why should I have to give it away to everybody in this Mishmar? And Tosfos asks again, why don't we say Dayoy on that? And the difference is because the difference is you would think, and on the other hand, why are we learning from, you would think when we're making the Gzeira Shava, we said we're making the Gzeira Shava from Gezel Ager to Sdei Achuza, and we're saying the same rules apply to both of them. Just like you can't keep the Sdei Achuza, you can't keep the Gezel Ager, we would have thought the other way around. That maybe we should learn the Gzeira Shava the other way around. So therefore we need the word Achuzah. So in other words, we're going to say we can't slog up the Kal v'Chomer with Dayoy. We need the word Achuzah. Tell us otherwise, because otherwise, not only would we not apply Dayoy, we would actually say we learn the other way around from Gezel Ager. So Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk says at Kisdei Acherim Lakoyin Tia Achuzah, like a field of Cherim, like when a person declares that a field is Cherim Lakoyinim, where then the Koyinim get to keep it. So the same way over here, it will be the Koyin's property, meaning Achuzah Shaloi, only when it's a Sdei Achuzah that he himself Yaushin from his father, then he keeps it. The Enzu Shaloi, this one that he bought from the Gizbar is not his. He never Yaushin in the first place. Hoketan. So what do we mean? Yotzim Tzachas Yadoi. So it has to be taken away from him. Umis Chalakas L'Chalach L'Koyinim, and it's given out to all the other Koyinim. So it goes to the entire Mishmar. Whether the Kohen himself gets a portion of that, you have Machloikas Achronim, the Yamshal Shloimer, the Marshal says, obviously, of course, he gets a portion. He's still part of that Mishmar, as opposed to the Teres Chaim, says, not even that. Be that as it may, the point is that because now that we know that by Sdei Achuzah, because of the word Achuzah, therefore we learn a Gzeira Shavah on the word Lakoyen from that to Gezel Ager, that's the same thing, even though on the face of it, the Koyen who stole from the Ger and himself is in the Mishmar, is in one of the Mishmaris, where he, on the face of it, he should be able to say, look, since the Korban can be mine whenever I want, then therefore the Gezel Ager should be mine as well. And we say, no, it doesn't work that way. From the Gzeira Shavah, we learn that it goes to the entire Mishmar, so you may or may not get your portion of it among the rest of the Mishmar, but you're not keeping all of it for yourself. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll deal with these dinim we'll deal first of all with this in general. We have this we're going to digress a little bit to talk about this concept that a Kohen can bring his own korban whenever he wants, and then we'll continue with these dinim of Gezel again.